The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
RX Paris Fort Smith. Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com. I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
You ever get lucky, Tommy?
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the Boys Club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautifully cold Monday morning. Appreciate everybody listening in today. I'm John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason here with you. Thank you for making us a part of your day today. It's supposed to be springtime. I don't know when it's actually going to be springtime with this weather that we're having. I'm getting pretty triggered by the fact that I have to wake up and it's 30 degrees.
Oh.
But, yeah. Maybe I'm. Am I just whining? Am I overreacting?
Is that what you millennials do? Y'all get triggered.
Yeah, we get triggered, Tommy. Tommy, this is the new generation where if we have things that we don't like, we get triggered. We go find our safe spaces, and you know we have a lot of discussions about why the weather is this way and what we can do to change it.
Well, it's kind of weather was kind of the headline of the weekend, I guess.
Yes,
because Friday. We knew we were going to have a bad weather day on Friday, but boy, it turned out to be really severe and kind of everything we were hoping it wouldn't be, with tornadoes and heavy rain. And we got a lot of folks in our coverage areas across the network here that dealing with cleanup from tornadoes, and what, three different tornadoes confirmed.
That's right.
From Friday. So, and some wicked video that I'm sure y'all have seen it from the news and some different stuff where they've shown some of the videos where people were stuck there on I-49 as that thing came through at the one at Mountainburg. Yeah. So
I actually was
driving. Bad stuff.
You mentioned the videos. I actually drove through on I-49 through Mountainburg area about 30 minutes after the fact as I was going up to Fayetteville because I had a little spot where I could afford to go through before the next storm system hit. And yeah, it was – never seen anything like it, especially in the mountains and that range. And you don't see tornadoes really hit that type of area very often. And it was devastating stuff, scary stuff.
It was a couple of teams traveling up to Northwest Arkansas from the Little Rock area and the Jonesboro area, and they actually pulled over in Clarksville, and they were posting videos of them being in a restaurant, and like all the lights were going out, and so it was definitely pretty scary stuff.
There was another one in that area north of Clarksville, kind of out in a rural area out in the National Forest, but nonetheless. Tornado was confirmed up there, then another one around Lavaca, but the most severe one that we've seen the most damage from was of course the Mountainburg storm. But a lot of people got some rain, and as John's whining about this splash of cold weather here, that they've invented these things called coats, John, and
he does not have on one today.
Yeah,
he probably got them shorts on again.
No, he has on pants.
I have pants on, and I do have a coat. I'm just not wearing it right now. But
he complains about it being cold.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what? Maybe what made it worse is the fact that when I got here to the station, the heat was not turned on from over the weekend. And so it was 59 degrees in this building while I walked into. So maybe that's also why it was a little upsetting. But
that means that you should work here more often then, John. Because if you had worked yesterday here in the studio.
Okay. Hot. Yeah, hot. Kettle black here on line one.
Well, Nick was technically working, I guess, over the weekend with his event. But no, it was. I even came here yesterday because I did a remote over at Harry Robinson yesterday. And, yeah. I mean, I came here and it seemed fine to me.
Yeah, we were both in the building over the weekend, but I'd actually turned the air on last week because it was I mean, that's Arkansas weather, right? Because it was like 80 degrees. I came in there last week, and it was we were roasted, so I had to turn the air on, and I didn't think about turning the heat back on. Yeah. So
I think right now it's 34 degrees here in this area, and then tomorrow it's going to be a high of 83. So, I mean, that's how you get sick right there, is that all these weather changes and stuff.
But I know. I need to be on location tomorrow, Tommy. I can't afford to be sick.
On location where?
Yeah, but you know where he's going to do fly from location at. Yeah.
Joy Street.
It's going to be over there. But no, we're going to be joined by Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette around 7:45 today. As there was a big series for Arkansas baseball, they were able to get the series in. Obviously, the game on Friday was postponed, and they had a doubleheader on Saturday. Lost game one on Thursday, but came back in that doubleheader, and I don't think you could ask for a better pitching performance from either pitcher of Casey Murphy and Matt Cronin. I mean, that was just as impressive as you can see and you can find, especially for Arkansas to come back in the way they played and when they were unable to get the bats going in game one. Game two and three was all about the pitching, all about the defense there.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive way to rebound after kind of a weird start to the series on Thursday when Blaine Knight's been so consistent, out-dueling the best pitchers in the country. And why he's starting to be considered amongst those elite and climbing the boards. But, all he does is just beat, top 20 draft prospects week after week after week. And it's kind of weird for Arkansas to be in a spot they hadn't been in, which is in a conference series having to win the last two, particularly at home, in order to take the series. So what a rebound, particularly when you got to go take two in one day, in a day where you've got to have some sense of urgency, guys, because they were seven-inning games. So it's almost like you're starting in the third inning. So your approach had to be a lot different. I thought Arkansas came out and, Dave clearly had the team prepared for that situation because they came out ready from the get-go.
Yeah, and for them to perform that well and have the pitching, it just seems like maybe things are starting to settle in. I'm not saying they're playing their best baseball right now. I think that may be a stretch because South Carolina is a solid team, but it's not like they're some of the teams that they've been playing here in the beginning of the SEC season. But you're starting to see certain things develop. You're starting to see guys get a little more comfortable, a little more settled in. And if things keep going the way that we're seeing, Arkansas might be in for a great home stretch down to the end of the season where they finally get everything figured out, they get comfortable in their roles, and that's exactly what you expect out of Dave Van Horn's teams, especially at this point in time during the conference season where they've played some really good teams, they've had a pretty tough schedule. Now they got this week where they play Missouri State, which is no slouch, at home on a Tuesday night game. Then you have this week and they travel to Starkville, Mississippi against another top tier team in the SEC. I mean, this is when you want to start getting settled in, and if the Razorbacks can go into this weekend and take two of three from Mississippi State and Starkville, I mean, you'll really start to see the things start lining up pretty well.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, this is you got to take advantage of this month where you only got one conference series away from home, so it's a critical stretch here for Arkansas to make some hay. You're further along, and you think, well, you're just kind of starting to get going, you're just starting to play. Well, no, you're halfway done. You don't realize how fast this thing gets by you, but you got 15 games under your belt. It's a 30-game schedule. So now you're over the hump. You broke over the halfway point. So, it's critical how you perform the rest of the way. This is another critical road series. You win two or three of these road series, you're probably going to be a division champ, maybe a league champ.
Because right now, I could be mistaken, I'd have to double check, but right now they are in sole possession of the lead of the SEC West, if I'm not mistaken. So, the fact that they're in that position right now, I mean, that's where you want to be. And this division is no slouch. I mean, you're talking about a team like Ole Miss, who had a crazy series against Vanderbilt over the weekend, to consider to be one of the best team, if not the best team in the West. They've had some slip-ups here or there, too, and Arkansas has been able to take advantage of that. And so if they were able to win just the division itself, I mean, it's almost like winning the division in SEC football. I mean, it's that big of a deal where you're going up against great teams, and if you're able to be that one team standing at the end of the day, I mean, that's about as impressive as you could ask for them right now. Yeah.
You keep winning games. Like I said, you get to around 20 regular season conference wins, and then, do what? You're going to be a national seed. And I know it's changed. The format's changed a little bit. We probably ought to study up on that a little more because I know they've changed it out 16 national seeds, but the format's still the same where the top eight host all the way through. And that's what I mean by saying national seed. Arkansas has not, that I can recall, been a top eight national seed that under Dave. If I'm missing one, I'll stand corrected, but I don't believe that's ever been the case. So it's a chance to punch another notch where you are a top eight national seed. Get to be guaranteed from the start of the tournament to host all the way through and, have a good spot on the board. The way Arkansas is playing, you might be in the top half of those seeds if you continue to play well because you're playing in such a great league. So keep playing well. Maybe go to the conference tournament. Make a little bit of noise. You may be 3, 4, 5 seed in the country when it's all said and done. But you just got to keep playing well. That's the key. Don't change anything. Keep playing well.
So let me ask you, Tommy. I know you're a baseball guy, and obviously the expectations were there for this year's team. Is this about right now at this point what you expected out of the team? Are they overachieving, underachieving? I mean, what do you think from your expectation that you had?
I think it's about right. I don't think they're playing their best baseball. I don't think they're completely healthy. We talked about that with Scott Tabor a couple of times. I think this pitching staff can still get better because they don't have everybody. The thing you worry about is hitting is so streaky. And you get one guy. We saw it in that, and we heard the players talking about it, and there's some interviews on our website, hitthatline.com. They go and play Grambling State in an off game there in midweek at North Little Rock. And they got some guys throwing at some different velocities and throwing some stuff that they, just was kind of different to them. And they have some trouble hitting it. Guys with, 6, 7, 8 ERAs.
Yeah.
And they're having trouble hitting that stuff because it just looks a little different. So you just never know. You have one of those kind of nights against a little better team in early June, and you could be done for. So, pitching can be pretty consistent generally, but I mean, it's the hitting that can be streaky and that concerns you. So I still don't think this team's playing as well as they're capable of. I think they're as good as anyone in the country when it's all clicking.
Well, so, if it keeps going the way it is and they start clicking, then you may see the Arkansas Razorbacks not only in Omaha, but maybe playing for something serious Omaha.
I believe they're good enough. Maybe that's just the Razorback shaded glasses we wear around here, but I believe they're good enough this year. I'm not saying they're going to win the national title. I don't think anyone can because it is somewhat of a crapshoot. You just got to get lucky in some ways. Any team that does win it all has to have some luck come their way. But if everything lined up, the right rotations against the right teams at the right time, this team has everything it needs for Dave to finally break through that door. And he's been knocking on the door for so many years. Finally, some year it's going to open. He's got the staff to make it open. This is not the first time I thought he's had the roster to put it all together. So, we'll see.
Well,
there's a lot of baseball between now and then.
That's right. There's a lot of baseball.
Stay healthy, too. That's the other thing this program's had problems with is just staying healthy. So hopefully they will.
Yeah. There's a lot of baseball to be played, but there's no doubt about it that they are playing well enough to be considered to be one of the top five teams in the country, which is what most outlets, most people think of this team right now, too.
If you keep playing like you've been playing.
That's the key. Got to keep playing the way you've been playing. But we'll talk about this throughout the show. We'll also get into some spring football talk, some stuff that's going on in the national sports world. Looking forward to that as well on this Hot Take Monday presented by Crabtree RV.
Yeah, it's springtime. Camping time is here in Crabtree RV, and Alma wants to make your family's dreams come true. Right now at Crabtree RV, you can keep your sales tax refund, zero money down, gets you into the right RV for your next outdoor adventure. You can hit the open road in a travel trailer like a Salem 171 RBXL with payments at $138 a month and 90 days payment free. Get all the details at Crabtree RV in Alma. Exit 13 off of I-40 next to the Cracker Barrel. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true.
This is Hot Take Monday on the Morning Rush. Brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. At least it has the potential to be beautiful. It's not going to be as cold anymore. I think it's actually starting to warm up in the studio over here, which is nice. Nick will be able to, lose the beanie and the coat and all that stuff. Maybe
no
one
go.
Point. No go. Wow. I'm just glad it's warm enough. I got this vent next to me because it was frigid. this morning. So, but appreciate everybody listening in today. John Neighbors, Nick Mason, Tommy Kraft, as well as Tyler Wilson. We welcome him in. It's good to see you again, T-Dub. How's it been going, man?
It's good. It's good. Just got a good start to the week here. Monday, get off on the right foot, and then see you guys maybe middle of the week. Maybe, I think we've got some golf planned this week if the weather cooperates, right?
We?
Nick, you're not joining us?
Listen, this is the second time golf has been brought up, and I haven't been invited. First, Tommy and John are going to some type of great event this weekend where they're going to be playing golf with a bunch of famous people. And then Tyler's coming into town, and I still wasn't invited. It's all good, though, fellas.
Well, you're invited. I'm inviting you now.
Okay.
Here's your formal invite right now.
I appreciate it. I think I'm busy that day, but I appreciate it, though.
Yeah. Busy doing what? Working?
Which day was it again?
Exactly. Doesn't matter which day it was. You'd be busy working. So, but appreciate everybody listening. I want to get up some Razorback football news. We talked about, of course, there is more important things. I know Tommy won't believe it, but there are more important things than Chad Morris getting a picture taken with a Boogie Witta hoodie.
I can't imagine there would be anything more important.
Well, okay, if you can believe it, Will Gragg announced that he is being transferred out of the program, or he is transferring out of the program. A tight end that, man, you talk about a kid that was coming out of high school that had offers to literally anywhere he wanted to go in the entire country. It just never worked out for him, never really saw the field much. It looks like he gave it at least a shot in spring practices for Coach Morris, but didn't work out for him. He hasn't announced where he's transferring. I know there's some schools in play, but, man, you talk about a guy that had all the potential in the world but just really couldn't find the field.
Now, you went over a list last week of the most sought-after recruit since 2000, I believe it was.
Right.
Wasn't he on that list?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was top 15. He's a top 15 guy.
Just to hammer home your point here a little bit.
Well, and you know, as a player, I remember being up in the weight room, and obviously Chris Gragg, his brother, was one of the guys that I relied on, catching the football for us. And obviously he's still playing in the NFL, but you know, when Chris and I were in the weight room, Will would come up in the summer, and he was like a fixture of practice. I mean, he was out there catching balls with us. He was out there in the weight room at times, and so I feel like, honestly, you feel like he's been at the university for, you know, 5 or 6 years just to this point. And during his, you know, kind of 7th, 8th, 9th grade years, he was up there quite a bit. Saw him with his family, so he's a Razorback, and unfortunate that the career did not play out as everybody hoped and thought coming out of high school. Because you're right, he was one of the most sought after recruits in the country, and certainly had a lot of upside, and for whatever reason, just did not pan out on the hill.
Do you guys think this is a philosophical fit, or the fact that he doesn't want to go through, you know, learning the new system? Read the tea leaves a little bit here, Tyler. What do you think it is that just isn't the right fit at this time going into a new system with a new coach?
Well, you know, first of all, it's been a little while since I've really seen him in action and play like I think he could play. You know, I think you're thinking the upside, the physical nature, his body type. You could see in high school, obviously it was phenomenal, but you kind of go, what would that look like year three and year four of college? And you know, that was the thing with Chris, his younger brother or his older brother. You know, Chris was a wide receiver in high school, and they're going, you know, we'd like to put you at the tight end position. Well, Chris had to change his body completely, and you saw this massive transformation with Chris. And, you know, Chris was a little taller, a little longer, has the long arms. Will, just a little bit different body type, and not necessarily the speed that Chris had. You know, Chris, when he converted to tight end, had the speed of a wide receiver, even when he put his weight on. And that's what separated Chris. I don't think Will ever had that breakaway speed that Chris had. Not to compare the two, because I don't think that's, you know, sometimes fair. But I think the speed aspect that Chris brought to the table, you know, Will had with the size, and just never was able to really separate himself, you know, in the tight end position. But you've had a lot of really good tight ends up there too. You know, in fairness to Will, you know, there's been a lot of really good players coming at the tight end position that maybe overshadowed them, you know, at Arkansas.
Tight ends and centers have been two spots that Arkansas has recruited well and performed well at, you know, consistently.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going back to Petrino, too. I mean
yeah.
Really all these guys. And Chad Morris is no different. A lot of people think that, you know, the tight end position is going to be a secondary choice, you know, now with this kind of system. But that's not the case at all. Really, with Petrino and with Bielema and now with Chad Morris, every one of those coaches are emphasizing the tight end position. So I only anticipate it continuing to be as good or not, if not better, at that position.
My thing is with Will specifically is I'm wondering if maybe there was stuff that was, whether it was playbook or running routes or whatever it was, that was just difficult for him, because you mentioned how great of an athlete he was, the amount of schools that he had a chance to go. I mean, scholarship player, one of the better players in the state at that point in time, and it seemed like athletically he had it all. And it's just one of those players, because we see it so often. I mean, how many times have we seen a player that's committed to Arkansas or from the state of Arkansas that you just look at and see, and you're like, man, this guy is the real deal. This guy has it all. But then they get to campus, and it just doesn't pan out for them, or they can't see the field. I'm just wondering if maybe there's some stuff here that has nothing to do with his physicality or if his ability. It's just maybe something that it's a playbook or a route or a fit or a system or whatever it could be that's the reason why he hasn't been able to take that next step. Maybe he can find it somewhere else, but I'm wondering if that's the case.
You know, it's interesting you talk about, sometimes it is the system, sometimes it is the fit, sometimes it is the playbook for a lot of players. Sometimes it's just the want to. And, you know, all of those are combination of some of those are the reason why some players make it or don't make it. But, you know, I mean, I think it's interesting you talk about the system with Ty Story. I mean, again, I watched the spring game again this weekend. I was really impressed with Ty Story, and totally different player in this system than he was in the Bielema system and what we saw previously. And confidence, so much more confidence. I just watched the way he walks around the field, the way he kind of carries himself, totally different player. You know, and I think that's what's really good. And I'm at least glad Chris gave it a shot with this new group, because or Will gave it a shot with this new group. But, you know, a lot of players, sometimes just a new attitude, a new personnel, a new coach comes in and completely changes their outlook and their projection and trajectory. And Ty Story is certainly one of those players. But I think there's probably, you know, four or five, maybe a handful of guys that weren't on your radar with the previous staff, that this staff comes in, and now they're a legitimate asset for your football team.
Well, you also brought up, Tommy, I know the amount of players that they had at certain positions or the ones that were recruited under Bielema. Tight end seemed like, of course, there was an emphasis put on it, but it almost got to the point where they had way too many. You know, there wasn't enough guys out there to really put themselves forward, because we've seen Cheyenne O'Grady play pretty well. We've seen things from Austin Cantrell. And I think a lot of cases, too, when you have that many tight ends all from the same recruiting class and they can probably do different things, maybe get lost in the shuffle a little bit. And I think that's also probably didn't do any favors for Will Gregg as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time where we had more tight ends than we had wide receivers, and we were trying to split out tight ends and motion them in and motion them out. We were trying to throw slant routes to Hunter Henry, and not that that's a bad, you know, alternative, but, you know, I mean, it was that's what it was,
because
the game plan.
It's because you had no wide. He was your most trusted set of hands, and you didn't have a lot of great wide receivers, so that's what you had to do.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And he had a pro on the field, so why wouldn't you put the ball in his hands? So,
well, you're just hoping that you don't. With this system, I think with Chad Morris, too, and we're still in the early stages of it. We haven't been able to see exactly what it's going to look like. But we also know that coming in, and I know he used the politically correct answer when he was asked about, you know, how much emphasis is going to be put on the tight end position. Because let's be honest, yeah, you can have a tight end in this system, but you're not going to have a reason to have four tight ends out there, at least ones that will get to playing time. So I think he was saying that, yeah, I will find some uses for them if they are able to fit in this. But, you know, basically, we're about the wide receivers. We're not really big on the tight end position and having a bunch of tight ends. At least that's how you got that vibe. And I think that also went to part of it, too. I don't know where Will Greg's going to go. I don't know if he's going to go and transfer to another SEC school or a D1 school, if he's going to try to go the route of maybe going to a junior college. I don't know at this point. But I do know that with the system in place, I felt like there was going to be one tight end transferring out. I mean, there's just too many of them. And Will Greg made the most sense because Cheyenne O'Grady, he might be the featured tight end, because he definitely looked good in the spring game. He's one of the few highlights from the spring game, at least on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, and if you're Chad Morris, if you're Joe Craddock, you're the staff, who do you want to develop and train? I mean, I know you want to try to win as many games as you can this year, but if it's close, you want to go with the young guy, right? Because that's the future of the program. So,
yeah.
That seems to make sense from the outside looking in, that's the direction you'd lean. But at the same time, let's also give credit to Greg as well. I mean, he's put himself in a position where he has graduated.
Yes.
This is only an opportunity he can take a hold of, because he's earned his degree, or will earn his degree, and can move on. So give him credit, and the athletic department, the program credit, Bielema's staff credit, for putting him in a position to be able to do this. And, you know, we talk so much about going on and being a pro and playing professional football, but, you know, here's a guy that's leaving with a degree, too, and I think that's something we, you know, just sweep under the rug and worry about the depth chart at tight end, too.
Well, and another thing, Tommy, on that, I want to give him credit for giving it a shot with Chad Morris. I mean, because we've talked about it with the basketball, especially the amount of kids transferring out and all these things going on, not giving it a shot. Give Greg credit. He went through the spring practices. I don't know where his mindset was before spring or when Bielema was fired or anything like that. But we know he was out on the field. He was giving it a shot, giving it a chance. And if it didn't work out, that's fine. So you got to respect a kid for that. You said graduating, getting to that point with his academics, and giving the new staff a shot to say, let's see if it works out. If it doesn't, we'll make the move there. So, I mean, kudos to him, because you don't see that very often, especially from a high-caliber player coming out of high school like Will Greg. I mean, yeah. It doesn't happen very often.
You know, guys, I think you always, as a player, you're analyzing, how much am I going to be able to play this year? You know, all you want to do is a player's play. And, you know, you've had a tough go at it the first, you know, few years on campus, and probably there's a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas, and had some pretty good guys in front of me. It's taken me a little time to learn and adjust. New coaching staff comes in, I'll give it a shot. You still see the writing on the wall, as it's going to be a kind of an uphill battle to play and be on the field as a primary guy. And I have the flexibility to transfer today and go play somewhere else. Yeah, I want to play. I'm in my, you know, in my last year or a couple years in college football here, I want to go place where I can play. And I think that's probably the decision, you know, that him and his family and you know, I'm done with school. So now it's about enjoying my last year of college and playing as many downs as I can play wherever I can play. And that's all, with all the work and energy and effort that you put into it, it isn't worth not playing. And so, you know, and I think that's probably the decision him and his family have made on this matter.
877-377-6963 is the number to call in. It is a Hot Take Monday presented by Crabtree RV.
Yeah, springtime is here. Camping time is here, and Crabtree RV wants you to keep your family's dreams in order right now and make them come true. And Crabtree has some Salem travel trailers as low as $138 a month. And with 90 days payment free, you can start enjoying your new or used RV today. Crabtree RV next to the Cracker Barrel in Alma. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Download the Morning Rush podcast anytime at hitthatline.com and free on iTunes. This is the Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into the Morning Rush. John Neighbors, Nick Mason, Tommy Kraft, Tower Wilson, all here together with you. Thank you for making us a part of your day. And it's that time of day where it's the on-the-spot question of the day presented by Washington Regional.
Yeah, they want to invite you to the Working Together to End Stroke free family event that's coming up on May the 3rd at the Botanical Gardens of the Ozarks in Fayetteville. Free food, games, and activities centered around stroke education and awareness. Stroke is a leading cause of death and disability for Arkansans, but together we can work to end stroke. So join Washington Regional for this free event Thursday, May the 3rd at the Botanical Garden in Fayetteville from 4:30 in the afternoon until 7. For more information, go to WRegional.com. That's WRegional.com.
And the on-the-spot question of the day, how long, I'm going to bring this up, and this is a new segment or a new topic, I should say, but how long does Chad Morris get it going at Arkansas? What I mean by that is at what point, how long do we know until Chad Morris is the guy? Is it going to be year two, year three? When does he have to show us something as the head coach of the University of Arkansas to know that, hey, he does have it going, he does have direction, he does have things improving? At what point in time will we see that, or should we see that?
You know, well,
September.
That's a lot of people's
September
expectations.
September 2018.
You know, this is one of those topics, and it's like, you know, every coach, every regime that comes in, and new staff that gets a fresh start. I mean, typically the universal answer is we'll give you 4 years. And, I mean, whether I'm a new coach coming on staff as an assistant or whether I'm a player coming in, one of the things I really like, and from a personal aspect, being, you know, Connor Nolan's relationship and kind of knowing, you know, them and seeing his career through high school and him getting an opportunity, getting in the first year of a coach is so huge because you feel like you'll at least get 4 solid years, regardless of what happens, whether it goes over like gangbusters or whether, you know, some things happen and it's not a positive result. But 4 years typically is that number. And, you know, I think, though, the progression, I look back to Petrino, year one, we won five football games, but we could have only won 3. I mean, we really were a hair length away from only winning 3 football games. In I think it was Eastern Illinois and ULM in Little Rock from and is a 4th down conversion in both those football games. Right. Chris Gregg. Fourth down conversion in both those football games from only winning 3 games that year. And, you know, 4 years later, Bobby wins 11 football games. So, you know, it's so tough to say, and there's a lot of fine lines. And Bielema right now in year 3 or 4, was 2 football games away from probably getting, you know, a much longer-term extension and probably being, you know, still the head football coach here. So the lines are so fine when discussing this topic, and it's almost unfair to discuss. But it's a topic. And Tommy, I'm curious to know your thoughts and what maybe the expectations are instead of 3, 4, and 5 here. What are the expectations maybe in year one?
Well, I mean, you say when should you know if he's got it going? To me. September, October. I mean, not that they're going to win every game, not that they're going to come out and win 9 or 10 their first year, but you know, the thing is, seeing signs of improvement. Improvement over a 4-win team shouldn't take long to show me that.
Right.
And all I'm asking in this first year is, can we be a better football team in October than we were in September? Can we be a much better football team in November than we were in September? Can I just see an upward trend as the season moves along, and it looks like the coaching's working, the players are engaged, even if the wins don't mount up, is the product on the field getting better? Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to see in year one. I think that's a reasonable expectation. It may not equate into wins, but are we putting a better product on the field? Because there's going to be a lot of bumps and bruises trying to change not only an offensive philosophy, but back to a 4-man front, the defense probably won't take as long, but you know, you're changing everything on both sides of the ball, all the terminology, everything. So as far as wins, you know, to me, I think the schedule sets up to where this team could win more games than maybe I think a lot of people expect, but I think you're going to like a 3-0 start to get there. But you know, winning 5 or 6 doesn't seem unreasonable to me for this team, but It's going to take some doing to just to get to that. Yeah. That's where this program's at right now.
You know, even if it's not winning the amount of games that you want to win, but it's playing clean football and looking like an organized product on the field. That's all we're talking about. And we saw signs last year of it not looking anywhere in the realm of that with muffed punts, and I mean, we're throwing we've got a punt called and we're throwing passes down the field with our punter. I mean, you know, there was stuff going on and you're going, what in the world are we doing? I mean, and you know, those are the things that you just kind of look in hindsight, go, you know, we just want a clean football game and a clean football team. And it's not always going to be that way. You're going to have those, you know, you're going to have different things like that happen during the course of a year. But you know, I think that's the things that people saw with Petrino that they really admired, regardless of the personality and things that they saw off the field that they maybe didn't agree with. That's the things that they saw on the field that they go, okay, all right, there's definitely structure going on here. And, you know, I saw that in the spring game as I watched that film back in the spring game. Obviously it cold and maybe as miserable as it was that day. You saw with Coach Craddock in about a 5-minute piece where they had ESPN had, you know, the camera on them and the microphone in the face, and they were playing, you know, their hurry up tempo. And you saw what that did to the defense. They had like 4 or 5, you know, play calls in a row that they gave the quarterback several options, and if you do it right, the defense is always wrong. And you saw him march down the field 60 yards in less than 50 seconds. And that's exciting. You get pass interference calls. You get people pulling. And that, to me, was what this offense can be. It can be explosive again. It can allow people to play and play early. These guys have only had less than, you know, 15 practices. And the tempo was good, but you could see it being much, much better, even in, you know, just a month or 2 months more practice. And, you know, so that's the exciting thing for me is I was able to see what they're doing and see some of the potential advantages. And you know, I think in year one we'll get a good feel, but year two and year three is where you'll really have a feel of whether this thing's taken off or not.
Well, I like how you brought up, Tyler, of like Bobby Petrino's first year, for example. They were a couple plays from only winning 3 games. But the difference was, and this is really what I was getting at, and I think you guys mentioned it, is showing the improvement, because that same year you had the Miracle on Markham Part 2 deal where they beat LSU at War Memorial. That right there, yeah, the season, they went 5-7. They didn't go to a bowl game. There's no postseason or anything like that. But the way that the season played out, people saw the progression, they saw the improvement, and then when you capped it with a victory against LSU, it wasn't a great LSU team. I think that team went 7-5 that year. But you capped it with that victory. That got everybody. I was like, this is really happening. This is exciting. We are going to roll right into the next season. We have all this momentum, and we're feeling great about where we're at. And I think it's got to be the same way with Chad Morris, where, you know what, he may only win 4 games this year. He may have a bunch of close calls where he barely beats a average team or below average team. There may be a lot of that. But as long as you see the progression throughout the season, you see guys buying in, you see the direction of it, and you're like, okay, I can get on board with this. I can see where it's going. That alone is going to get fans excited and fans bought in. And I don't think that's too much to ask. It's not about the wins this year. It's just about showing the direction and showing that it's a winning formula.
Wouldn't surprise me if you get down to those last 2 games, you got a trip to Starkville, a trip to Columbia, Missouri, and you're going to need to win at least 1 and maybe 2 games to get bowl eligible.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to be tough enough? Are you going to have enough grit about yourself? Are you going to believe enough in yourself as a football team in late November to go do that? That's going to be an interesting way for me to see how the season plays out this year. That's going to be interesting.
So, you know, and this is not me listening to any external sources. It's not listening to the national shows that call in and have, you know, their feelings about Chad Morris and the hire, and maybe a lot of those national guys that have, for whatever reason, they've got a lot of obligation to the previous staff that was here, and those relationships run deep. So, you know, the positivity on the local show, on some of these shows are what they are. But, you know, just being here and seeing, I think it would be a huge accomplishment to get to a bowl game in year one in the current. I mean, if that happens, they have greatly exceeded expectations in my camp. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to say that my expectations are low this year. It's just a matter of really where you are as a program and what you've got in the stable and your ability to uproot kind of the kind of players that you've got on campus currently. And switch them and change their mindset to this new way of thinking, which I think long term is the best way. But in year one, getting to a bowl game, I think would be a tough task. But if they're able to accomplish it, it would greatly exceed my expectations.
Hey, if you're hitting the wall in the afternoons, that's a term I think a lot of us use, that when we reach a point of sudden fatigue or we've lost our energy in mid-afternoon, we've all experienced it, probably often or far too often. We grab an energy drink, we go get a cup of coffee, we get something loaded with caffeine to push our way through. There's a better way, and it's called 3-Day Wall Breaker. It's a formulated product specifically designed to conquer fatigue. It's incorporated into your daily routine, and as soon as you get 3-Day Wall Breaker in your system, you're going to notice that those hitting the wall moments are left behind. It's a simple, straightforward powder mix. It's free of stimulants and sugars, and it's designed to increase energy levels and joint recovery, all while providing mental focus and muscle support. 3-Day Wall Breaker, available in an orange flavored drink mix, and it comes in 3 packs or a 30 serving jar. This stuff will make you feel better and get you through the day without all that caffeine and all those stimulants. Try it today and feel the difference. It's available only online at 3daywallbreaker.com. That's 3daywallbreaker.com for 3-Day Wall Breaker.
Coming up next, we're closing up shop on the other side. This is the Morning Rush.
The most honest sports radio show in Arkansas.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.